It's time for Real Money with David Holland. Because David isn't just a radio personality, but also provides financial advice to clients, we must pause for a word from our compliance department.
David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, an investment advisory firm registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. The views and advice expressed by David Holland and guests are general in nature. No statements or opinions given during this radio program are to be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not to be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after a thorough analysis of an individual situation, and engagement of services to be offered are only in states where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. And now for the man who doesn't preach about cutting up credit cards, doesn't waste your time talking about which razor blades to buy, won't tell you to sell everything you own and buy gold, or ever use big words to impress you and talk over your head. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, David Holland.
Hey, here I am. Hello there. Thanks for joining us on the program today, where we promise to give you the most relevant and current information from our crackpot.
No.
But that's not good. Cracker Jack. Yeah, a good team of experts, a good team of financial folks that include one Mr. Scott Connor. How are you, Scott?
Terrific. You?
I'm doing all right. Busy day already, and we're off and running.
The fastest 5 minutes in finance with Scott Connor.
I got to tell you, I caught part of, I was listening to the show, our compliance review and all that, and I was listening to your conversation with one Mr. Kevin Gettings, and it was really nice. You guys had a nice conversation, and Kevin was very gracious.
Kevin is always gracious.
Very insightful about his comments about what we do and who we are. So thank you, Mr. Kevin.
He is definitely up to speed, and he loves to needle me. And every once in a while, I take a shot back at him, but beyond gracious.
I want to go on the record. So obviously doing on the radio is a good way to do that. That you have my full authority without any reservations, stops, caps, no hedge, no nothing. You can give him all you want.
All right.
Okay, you hear that, Kevin?
He has the air button, though.
Yeah. Well, but if he plays fair, he won't push the button. All right. Well, speaking of pushing buttons, what do you have for us?
Well, we had really not an overly exciting day on Thursday's market. Dow up 58, S&P up 8 to close north of 1,400 at 1,402. Happy about that, I guess. NASDAQ up 15, gold up 16, oil flat, tens at 227.
Well, you know we're going to talk about that.
I mean,
you know I love my 10-year yields. I want to know what's going on with those because there's so much.
Boy, that's a big move in 3 or 4 days.
It's a huge move, and there's so much tied to it that we got to spend a little bit of time talking about.
Yeah, but there was a fair amount of economic news for Thursday's market. Just looking at the markets in general, Apple crossed $600 a share at the open and then came back fairly significantly. It seemed like that was kind of a psychological level as well. Volume in the market, extremely low still. Big economic news reports on Thursday were, as always on Thursdays, the weekly jobless claims number. Did you get a chance to see that?
No, I did not.
Down again.
Claims down, so jobs
These
up.
Are initial claims.
Okay.
Well, I don't know that jobs are up. It's just people are not claiming. So benefits dropped 14,000 to a seasonally adjusted 351,000.
Okay.
But prior week's figure was revised up to 365 from 362. It's just another indication of the games they play with the employment numbers.
I can't believe, Scott, that you would suggest that anyone would play games with any of the numbers to do something for their advantage.
Boy, that employment number is just the worst because everybody sees that monthly headline number, and that's
all
it.
They see.
But here even on a week-to-week number, they can't help it. You know, oh, it was down 14,000, but don't tell anybody. We changed last week's to be up further. You know, it's just ridiculous.
So you can throw a number out there, and then you can revise
it
later.
Yeah, because
again, I'll go back to the, you know, what time I'm going to be home to the wife, right? I could say, you know, I'm going to be home at 6, and then I get home at 7,
yeah, you get
and
a
then
problem.
The next morning I say, no, I revised my number. Oh. I was home at 6.
Yeah.
Well, what a game.
It is quite a game. The jobs numbers in particular to me seem like they're...
Yeah, you're pretty jaded on the jobs.
Yeah, I don't...
So we're going to start calling this the Jaded Job Report.
There's so many numbers behind the numbers, and really if you just scratch a little bit, you see them, and you start to think to yourself, how valuable is this information at all?
Be careful. You scratch and sniff, you might not like what you smell.
Yeah, that's a fact. So also we got on Thursday's market, producer price index, a little hot.
That was hot, higher. What was the number?
0.4, and what that tells us is that inputs that manufacturers are using to produce their goods.
More.
Yeah, basically the raw materials.
So the raw materials are going up. Now, 0.4, that is just for the month.
That's right.
So that's a big deal. And let me comment real quick, Scott, because I know you're ready to go to your next thing. 0.4, ladies and gentlemen, is just for the month. That means it's a 0.4% increase in producer price cost. That translates to a 5% for the year.
Yeah, now the previous month was 0.1%. So it's much, much hotter in February than it was in January.
That's 1.2. But 5%, why that matters to you, what do you care what it costs a manufacturer to make something?
Have to pass it on.
Exactly. Pass it on down the line.
Yep, and the notable part of that spike in energy costs. No surprise to anyone.
So that's the other thing not to forget is that the manufacturers, when they build stuff, they have to use energy to do it.
Yeah, and then they have to ship it.
That takes energy.
And that's another level of cost increase from going from the manufacturer to the retail shelves. So the oil prices are a multi-level problem.
And this is a big deal because you know what? Energy equals mass times the speed of light squared.
That's
right,
right,
Lisa? So that's a big deal. All right, well, we're going to take a quick break so that we don't get squared, and we'll be right back. Hold on.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read, you'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
Lisa, you're just here for your amusement, aren't you? Hey, what are we doing now? Finglish?
Yeah.
Now it's time for a breakdown from Finglish to English.
All right. I'm glad that happened, Lisa. I got you. Lisa runs the board. She is a master of technology
She's
and demonstrates
flawless.
It on a daily basis.
Yeah, she is
Thank
flawless.
Thank you, Lisa.
I have just a handful of other quick things I want to tell you about. The Philly Fed Index of business activity in the Philadelphia Federal Reserve's area rose for the fifth month in a row to 12.5 from 10.2 in February. So that's good. Things are hopping in the Northeast.
Well, they say everything's better up in the Northeast.
Well, that's
what the people from the Northeast say.
I'm from the Northeast.
Ask Pat next time you're over there. Talk to Pat, my assistant. She just ask her and she'll tell you.
Two other things that I really want to tell you about. Today is the first day of the free trade agreement being in effect with South Korea. So
Woo-hoo!
The things that we're shipping to South Korea, 80% of U.S. exports of industrial products and 65% of the agricultural products that we send to South Korea are now duty-free.
That's good because they'll import our stuff maybe instead of other people.
That's exactly right. It basically lowers the price for Koreans to import our goods, which is good. And then also, I really want to tell you this because I was happy about it, although it got buried in the press.
Well, hold on. Wait. South Korea, let's get some perspective here. Their economy is $1.5 trillion.
It's a good size economy.
So that's a good kind of that's a good economic partner.
Yeah, and they're a good trade partner with us.
All right, go ahead.
Spain held a bond auction Thursday. Let's call it Thursday. 3 billion euros of 3 years came in at 244, down from 296 on an auction they did on February 16th. This is Spain.
Wow.
You like that?
I love that.
Pretty good demand, pretty low yield. So all in all, that was a nice little piece of news.
That's impressive. So Spain is not as much of a risk at this time.
Yeah, remember they're threes, which is a big difference.
Right.
And that's it for your general market update for Thursday.
All right. Well, before I forget, and then we're going to get to bonds, but before I forget, I want to give a little shout out to a friend here, okay? As you all know, I ride my bike pretty consistently, and I have discovered a new bike shop that's just down the street from my office here on Granada, and it is Daytona Bicycle Center. And I mentioned that because I've enjoyed going in there. Norm, the owner, does a great job. But here's what I want to tell you. If you're interested in biking, they're holding an after-hours thing on March 21st, Wednesday at 7 p.m. That's being a talk done by the guest speaker, Zahid Buttar. And I'm sure I butchered his name. Sorry. He's a collegiate swimmer, 16-time Ironman, professional cyclist. Anyway, he's doing a talk on all kinds of stuff related to health and fitness. So anyway, I just wanted to shout it out. Norm's a good guy. If you've got a bike and you want to get serviced, I took mine in there the other day, and he did a great job, and I'm back out on the road.
It's good to support local business.
Yeah, it really is. So I just wanted to get that out there. We got to talk. We got to talk about those yields, Scott.
On the move up, no question about it. Really pretty much across the curve, but it's the 10s that I pay attention to, and to close where they did it north of 2.25 is, I mean, we were inside of 2 at the beginning of the week.
And it wasn't long ago. It was like 1.8, 1.9, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so that's a pretty big jump.
Yeah, so that tells me that money is coming out of bonds. With the rally that we've seen in the market this year, I think it's largely going into equities, which I think is all good news. I think institutional investors are less nervous. We like that.
We do like that. So the translation here is as 10-year treasuries, the yield on bonds goes up, that means the price is falling.
That's right.
And so those two are, that's inverse correlation or inverse the way they move. So for the investor, what does this mean? Does this mean they need to pull all their money out of bonds?
No, but I do think you have to be careful about what kind of bonds you're in, what the time frame of them is.
The maturities are.
Yeah, the maturities, and how much bond exposure you have. Because just as we've seen this week, even the most stable of asset classes, treasuries, can move pretty quickly in the face of news. So a lot of times markets will move much, much, much faster than you can react to them.
Well, your buddy, Jeff Mackey,
you've been spending a lot of time with Jeff.
Well,
Mackey.
I just can't. Every time I turn around, he pops up on my Yahoo with his thing of the day,
and I think it's purple crayon.
Yeah, I think it's pretty interesting. Well, anyway, his little comment was that junk bonds are seeing an inflow of about $1 billion a week.
Yeah, so, junk bonds have been really, really, really hot this year. Emerging markets as well. Two, and those are generally higher risk type of areas. So money's coming out of risk. Risk off and into risk on.
Okay, so it's not just people coming out of bonds, it's people coming out of low return, super safe insurance money, basically, and going into riskier assets, includes stock market, equity market, but also higher risk and foreign bonds.
Yes. Now, there also is some thought that with the economy really moving in the right direction, really pretty convincingly at this point, the Fed can step back from their time frame and raise interest rates more quickly if they feel like they have to. If we really start to build some momentum, the possibility exists that the Fed could raise interest rates, which would really have a problematic effect on bond prices. So there is some thought that bond traders are getting out of that asset class just with that in mind, maybe hedging a little bit.
So the concern is that if interest rates start to go up before the 2014 date that the Fed originally put out there,
that could catch a lot of people surprised.
That people are caught. You know what's really interesting to me, Scott, and I've seen this through obviously more than one cycle because of how long I've been doing this, and I know you have too. What do you say to people that are just going all into bonds right now because they're like, the market's a bad place, and it's almost like they're going from the frying pan and into the fire? Because when rates start to turn, they're going to get just destroyed.
Yeah, and I'm sorry to say it, but and like you said, I've seen it a number of times. Retail investors have a tendency to do the exact wrong thing at the exact wrong time. So if you hear people right now saying the stock market is a bad place to be, I'm getting out of there and I'm getting into bonds, that is not reflective of what is actually happening in the market.
I agree with you. How are we on time, Lisa? I'm over. All right. So hear that? I'm over again. We're going to take a quick break. I got to talk some more, though. There's some more issues here with bonds that we got to talk about. Stick around.
If you like what you hear, you'll love what you see. Watch Real Money with David Holland, the TV show, Mondays at 12:30 p.m. on WESH Channel 2. Did you know living longer could be the death of your retirement? According to the U.S. Census Bureau, babies born today can expect to live until an average age of 78. Whether you're retiring today, tomorrow, or in 20 years, you must ask yourself, will your retirement plan go the distance? Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
All right, we're back. Sorry I had to get to a quick break. You know, the boss man wants me to get a break in there to talk about Holland Financial. Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay. We're here to help. Love helping. You know, I did a plan today, Scott. Talked to somebody, and it was just a pure joy because they got what we're trying to do for them.
You've had a busy day.
When I showed them their plan and they took it all in, they said, we never had anybody show it to us like this. I said, well, it's not hard. Financial planning is not a mystery. It's not magic. It just has to be done.
Yeah, and the other thing that I've always seen on financial planning is that you have to have somebody make sure you keep doing it. I've seen so many financial plans that get stuck on a shelf and then they gather dust and they're not really helping.
That's the Ron Popeil, Ronco,
set it and rotisserie, forget it.
Yeah, rotisserie chicken.
Yeah, it has
you
to be a living document.
And you forget it.
It has to be an ongoing living
document. It really does. I tell people that financial plans we do are carved in jello.
Yeah, there you go.
Because and they're not in stone. It's gonna need to adjust. Anyway, so let's get back to the bond issue. Our advice then, or our comment here, is that people shouldn't yank all their money out of bonds, but they need to be careful about the types of bonds they hold and the maturity, how long those bonds are. Because I'll give you a great example. A gentleman in the other day, he came in and he's in his early 80s, and he's got a 22-year bond. I said, man, you've got some confidence.
Yeah, that's confidence.
Because, you know, the reality is a lot of people in seeking yield and seeking return, how much they can make on bonds, went really long when rates are low. And I get that, but they've just poured cement because as interest rates come back up, you got a 20-year bond and interest rates go up 1%, you could have something as much as a 20% loss if you sell it.
Yeah, the way to think of bond prices as far as the duration or the length of them, let's not use too technical a term, but it's kind of like a whip. So the further out towards the end of the whip, the more
faster,
volatile.
The faster it travels.
Yeah, the faster and the further it travels. And if you're closer to the handle, it doesn't travel quite so much. So short bonds are significantly less volatile than longer bonds. Higher credit quality bonds are generally thought to be less
not
volatile,
as volatile
right,
as well.
Than lower credit quality.
Well, and because they're affected by the underlying financial institution.
Yeah, and there's a whole thing you can do about with duration and modified duration and Macaulay duration and, yeah, come on.
You just lost half the listeners, man.
I know, but I
know you know that.
It's important, though, which takes into account cash flow.
Your advisor better know all that stuff. If your advisor doesn't know what the word duration means, then you're in trouble.
Yeah, and it takes into account cash flow. And generally, a bond that is paying you cash flow back faster...
has a lower duration.
...is safer.
Safer. Okay. Well, hey, how good of a sign is it, and this is really one that can go either way, that foreign holdings are up for U.S. Treasuries. Hit a new record, in fact. We're sitting with total foreign holdings of U.S. Treasury debt, what we owe, what the government owes everybody, is over $5 trillion now. What do you make of that?
Well, I think it's a good indication that we still are the safest economy.
So that's a good sign.
I think that's a good sign, yeah. I'm not crazy about being beholden to a lot of foreign sovereign entities.
But let's be clear to our listeners, because I know as soon as you say that, Scott, people are going to go, oh no, what if China says they want their money?
Yeah.
They can't do that.
Yeah.
China owns right now $1.1 trillion, and Japan's right behind them with just over $1 trillion. So basically, we owe... $2 trillion to China and Japan. Now, they cannot call up and say, you know, Mr. Obama, we want our money, or Mr. Greenspan, we want our money. They want their money back. They sell those bonds on the open market.
Right.
So, but you're right. It doesn't really feel good. That's really what it's about, feeling good about that so much money's over there.
The worst problem, than them buying all of our bonds is them not buying all of our bonds.
Well, you are on it, Scott, because here's the reality. The reason these treasury yields are going up is because there's less people buying them.
Yeah.
And in order for the buyer to be induced to purchase that bond, they've got to get a higher yield because of alternatives. They say, hey, look, I can go get a diversified portfolio of a nice conservative bond portfolio from Scott Connor at Holland Financial. And, I'm going to make X percent. It's a good return. Why do I want to accept 1.8, 1.9 on a treasury?
Yeah.
And
stock dividends are in the same boat. I mean,
exactly.
we always recognize stocks as risky assets. But if you can get 3 or 4 times the yield of a treasury with less than 3 or 4 times the risk, you know, then it's maybe something that institutional investors are considering from yield generation.
Well, and something you've been watching for some encouragement for the housing market is what you think, you talk about the demand for 30-year mortgages.
Yeah.
And of course, mortgages are tied to treasury yields. And so that naturally... 30-year mortgages are on the way up.
Yeah, of course. Well, that's if that comes with additional pressure to buy those mortgages, then I'm for it. The mortgages don't have to be this low
to entice people to buy, because if they did, then we would have had this problem solved. Yeah, because they've been so low for so long.
I think the yields are going to accelerate. I think, and we're going to see more and more demand from the consumer, the investor, saying, "Hey, look, compared to what?" It's always compared to what.
Right.
I need to see a higher yield on this investment, or I'm going to put my money somewhere else.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to take a short break. Come right back, and more good stuff to follow. Hang in there.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
The following top secret message is ready for declassification.
Top secret stuff. That's what we're talking about. Hey, before I let you go, Scott, because I know you got to get busy managing those portfolios. You're a busy guy and doing important stuff.
Thank you.
Hey, I pulled this because, you know, you saw in the paper, I'm sure, that investors are pushing for Warren Buffett, one of my favorite guys, to have to name his successor. They want to know, hey, look, you're in your 80s.
He knows who it is. He just hasn't told the public.
And that's what's driving them bonkers.
Yeah.
They hate that. And there's nothing, and I'm surprised, you know.
Are you about to reveal the successor?
No. Oh. Well, I wasn't going to say anything, but I do have a new job opportunity. Can you see me working with Buffett?
Nope.
But what's interesting, it got me thinking when I saw that. I said, you know, he's starting to aggravate people. And, you know, it's always good to be an informed consumer. And so I wanted to mention this. Berkshire Hathaway's, it's a conglomerate, right? I mean, it's an investment company that's publicly traded.
Right.
And they own all kinds of stuff. Well, I was a little surprised, and you probably already know this because you're up to your eyeballs in the investments and stocks every day, and I do a little bit more of the planning. So I looked at this, and I was surprised. Here are some household names that people may be surprised to know that Berkshire Hathaway, under the careful and stable and smart stewardship of Mr. Buffett. Geico. So he owns the Gecko Geico.
Yep.
Let's see. Dairy Queen. Say it ain't so. So, do I still get Dairy Queen? The kids love Dairy Queen.
Your kids come first.
Okay, I agree. The Pampered Chef.
Yeah.
Okay. You're a Pampered Chef, aren't you?
Occasionally.
All right, well,
usually I'm just a working cook.
Scott is actually a very good cook from what I hear. I've never had an opportunity to try anything. He won't bring me anything, but anyway. See's Candy.
Yeah, we've talked about that. You knew that.
All right, and very close to home, Fruit of the Loom.
Yep.
So he's got us covered in our car, covered in our drawers, and covered at the ice cream store. Anyway, I thought you'd like to hear that. Okay, Scott, I'll let you go.
Have you ever read one of his annual letters to shareholders?
They're pretty pretty blunt and to the point, aren't they?
Yeah, they're fun to read. They're very sort of folksy, but you know, so many of these annual letters come out and they're unreadable.
Does he read them or sing them? I hear he's a singer now too.
Yeah, he's a singer.
Has he got a banjo?
He's got a banjo and he's got a train collection. And
well, if he does the banjo, you do a pretty mean harmonica, although you won't play it for the radio either.
Yeah, I'm a grumpy, I guess. I won't cook. I won't play harmonica.
Well, it's okay, though. It's not like I'm going to keep mentioning it until I see what I can get out of you. But all right, Scott, get to work
and
we'll get on with the program here. All right. For the remainder of my time that has been yielded by the Right Honorable Gentleman Scott Connor, I'm going to talk a little bit about the key aspects to retiring. And that will be all I have time for today. Now, what I'm going to share with you are just some observations I've had lately and just working with people. One of the cool things about doing this program for you, and it's all for you, the show's for you, ladies and gentlemen, is that I am always talking to clients and people. And so I've always got stories to tell, or I've always got things that are insightful that we can talk about. So here's a couple of key things about retiring. Do it once. Okay. And what I mean by that, make sure you know that you can retire before you retire and then say, oops. And you have to go back. You know, a lot of times when people leave the workforce, they go out at the top of their game. I think of somebody that works for a pretty large company. And when she retires, when she leaves that company, she needs to be done. And because it would be very hard for her to go back. So you got to make sure. And how do you do that? Well, Let me hit my repeat button here. You build a financial plan. In fact, I met with somebody else recently that we were talking about the planning, and he asked me, well, how do you figure it out? How do you come up with the numbers? You use a software program? No. I know where every number is in that plan. It's because we build them from scratch, and that's how you do it. You need to get on the same page with your spouse. That's another key part about planning. Your spouse, your significant other. I've done work for married couples, for couples that are significant, what they call that, significant other, where people just aren't married, but they are a couple. And in doing that, it's absolutely critical to see eye to eye. And a lot of times that planning process will help get you there. Base your plan for retirement on conservative assumptions. I don't care where you are politically. When it comes to investing, you need to be conservative. And what we mean by that is to be on the lower risk environment. Doesn't mean that you have to vote the red ticket. Address the threats. You know, threats about retirement are becoming more and more important. The things that can mess up your plan. Be on the lookout for what those can be. Plan for them. And make sure you've planned for a long life. Whatever you think your life expectancy may be, it could be longer, it could be shorter, but it's important to plan for that and look at your family history. Maybe you add 10 years to what your family, your parents or other relatives have lived. Am I out? Am I done? One more segment. It's short. All right. Well, let me finish here then. Lisa is here to help me. I'm not letting you go just yet. Here's the next one on my list. How does the longevity affect your plan? A lot of times when we build a financial plan, we have to have an honest conversation with people and say, okay, what do you want to do in terms of when you want to pull your income? Some people want to front load their plan for income. And what I mean by that, they borrow from Peter to pay Paul. They say, I want more income at the front of my plan because I'm going to be more active. And then when I'm older and I'm not as active, I'm not traveling, I'll trade my jet ski for the Lazy Boy. I'll take a more lower key and I won't need so much income. Of course, we've got to factor in inflation. So you think about the stages of retirement. I call them the active, the transition, and the maintenance stage. You also need to run survivorship scenarios. I know that's not fun, but I just met with a couple. We ran the joint income projection for their plan. Looked great. But when you took out the husband, it was brutal for the wife. I mean, you know, the last thing you want is when the spouse is dealing with the loss of their life partner to also have a financial catastrophe. So you need to plan for it. And there are ways to plan for it. I am here to tell you there are ways to address that. And make sure that you get your risk levels right. You need to be age and your nearness to retirement appropriate. You need to make sure that you've got the right level of risk. If you are on the interstate and you are doing 75 miles an hour and you all of a sudden your exit is in front of you, you cannot whip the wheel over and get off the exit safely. It doesn't work that way with retirement either. So you need to make sure that you have all of that and you have all that in place. So last but not least, consider delaying retirement. I know that sounds ugly, maybe not fun, but it's better to wait another year or two or three or four or five if necessary. A financial planner can tell you how long you need to work. It doesn't have to be a mystery. It doesn't have to be, I hope it works out. Lots of benefits of delaying your retirement. You can build in a margin of safety. If you have a good job, you're happy. You know, maybe you talk about a little bit more vacation for not getting a raise or, you know, look at ways of making that career, allowing it to continue. And a more experienced worker is worth a lot to an employer. They know what they're doing. Hey, one more thing. Should you count on an inheritance? Maybe you're going to get an inheritance. Maybe not. Don't plan on it as part of your financial plan. Now, you can build in some ideas, but I'd be real careful because what if mom or dad gets has to go into a long-term care facility and they never bought long-term care insurance? There went your inheritance. A lot of things can happen. You need to think about that and consider it properly and get your estate plan in order. I know it's not technically the retirement component, but getting that right is essential. So these are some key aspects to planning that I've been running into lately and having those conversations with people. It's just vital that you have a plan that is in place to let you see yourself through this. Here, I have one more thing I was going to show you. If you just 2 years can make a huge difference. And if you don't have to draw savings because you haven't retired, you're still getting wages. The funds you would have drawn can stay invested, earn more. You and your employer can keep putting money in your 401k. Your savings won't have to provide 2 years worth of income. So later you can take more retirement income or be more conservative. And I think that's all the time we have, isn't it, Lisa? Okay, I'm getting the head nod. Good stuff today. Obviously, I would like a 3-hour program, but 30 minutes is all I got. So see you next time. Thanks.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.
You load 16 ton, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.